Blog Talk Radio.
You're live. Relentless Church. Wherever you are, I need you to put your hands on it like this. Come on. Yep. Everybody climb like this, like this, y'all. We want to see you. Yeah, no. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Just open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Say, I want to see you. Just open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, 'cause I want to see you.
That's our heart today.
I want to see you.
Wherever you are, let's raise it together. Come on, take it.
Come on, if you want to see him in the midst of the noise, in the midst of the chaos.
I want to see.
Come on, just ask him today. Oh, 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 say, open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
I want to see it like you see.
Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to. You would open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
hope is
in the
eyes of my heart, cause I wanna see you.
Stay right there.
I wanna see you.
Come on in your homes, tell them.
I wanna see you.
The hope of Lord.
I wanna see you.
Over Jireh.
I wanna see you.
Come on, talk to him.
I wanna see you.
I wanna see
you. You're what we want, oh God, and I wanna see you. Give us your eyes today, God. Give us your view today. Give us your perspective today. Help us to see through your lens today, oh God. Help us to see that everything is gonna be alright. And I wanna see you.
I wanna see you.
Oh God,
I wanna see you.
Lift those hands right here.
I wanna see you. Hallelujah.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, and God bless you, everyone. I'm Apostle, a.k.a. Bishop Shalene Johnson Cook, and I am so blessed to be here tonight to welcome you to the Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. And tonight, saints of God, they are going into revival. Hallelujah. So right now, I want you to prepare your spirits to soar. As we go into our Starting a Fire in Your Hearts 2022, Revival with Dr. Susan Street Beavers. God bless you.
God, we come before you. We're so excited today to be here because we are here to have our hearts open and set ablaze. We are here for revival and a change. When we have revival, we are here because we want the power of the Holy Spirit to change one person at a time. Each person touching another person, passing the flame from one to the next. So we are here surrendering our lives and our hearts to the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We're excited tonight. And as we are here tonight, we have some phenomenal, phenomenal speakers. And of the speakers that we have tonight, we have Michael Bishop. Bishop Michael. And we have Bishop Michael Snoddy. And we have Bishop-elect Demel Elliott Hubbard. We're so excited to have her. And we have Pastor Jesse Jackson, who is in the waiting room. So we're so excited to have all of these people here with us tonight. And we're going to have a tag team revival. So hold on. Get excited. Be prepared to let your hearts be ignited. As we go forth, the first speaker we're going to have, and they're going to go one right in a row, I'm going to introduce them to you first, and after I finish, they're going to begin. Our first speaker is going to be Bishop Michael Snoddy. He's a former pastor in the city of Rockford, Illinois. He now resides in Tulsa, Oklahoma, his hometown. He's got a doctorate, and he's working on his doctorate. He's from ORU. He's been an educator, and he's currently excited about getting his doctorate in education. He's written a couple of books, Bishop Snoddy is excited about preaching today. He is one of the people who has stood in the face of injustice and racism, and so he's going to come tonight with the fire of the Lord to ignite us in revival. The other person who is going to follow Bishop is going to be Bishop-elect Demel Elliott Hubbard. And Demel, if I said your name wrong, please forgive me. But she's a Bishop-elect in the Kingdom Destiny Fellowship International. She serves as the chair of government affairs and was recently married to Bishop Andre Hubbard. She's a proud pastor of Parcel Baptist Church, and she is an anointed speaker. Tonight we also have with us Pastor Jesse Jackson. Pastor Jackson is serving a church and has been there for years in East 6th Street Christian Church in Oklahoma City, and he is going to be the final speaker that we have tonight. Pastor Jackson works and is on the board of Phillips Theological Seminary, and he serves in the Disciples of Christ. He's been the president of the Black Pastors, and he is here tonight to set us on fire. We're going to start, I said again, with Bishop Michael. We're going to follow with Bishop-elect Demel Elliott, and we're going to close with Pastor Jesse Jackson. Bishop, if you're ready to go, let's go, let's go, let's go. Bishop Michael.
Thank you, Dr. Susan. Thank you so much for that introduction, and I'm getting ready to go right into the Word. Romans, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 11th verse, and from the New International Reading Version, it says, keeping with the theme, starting a fire in our heart for 2022, says in verse 11, never let the fire in your heart go out. Keep it alive. Serve the Lord. When you hope, be joyful. When you suffer, be patient. When you pray, be faithful. Share with God's people who are in need. Welcome others into your home. That word love is a word that in society today, and especially in the church, can cause some confusion. Now, a young man could come up to a young lady in church and say, you know what, sister, I love you. And that sends so many signals into the psyche of both the man and the female, because does he agape me? Does he storge me? What type of love do you have? Well, let's say, since he said it to you in English, in America, one could come to the conclusion that he wasn't thinking in the Greek. Amen. He was thinking in his English head that I like this girl. She's something else. But we kind of, in that love thing, we get kind of weirded out when people use that word love. We can go from friends to lovers. We can have love for ministers and fellow ministers. Love can drive some people out of their mind. You can treat somebody wrong, and that person will equate that with love. As a matter of fact, they get into sick relationships because the person that's doing the abusing will then bring a gift. Come on, somebody. And he brings this gift, thinking that everything's going to be all right. It's going to cover up everything until the next time they do something to each other. That is something that we need to get out of. There are times when we get so weary of hearing the word love, it could cause these people that are being abused to get used to it and stay in it. Sister, brother, you don't have to stay in abuse. We're going to start a fire in our heart in 22. We're going to keep it there.
Amen.
When we look at the basic science of fire, we see that there are three elements in the fire triangle. You have heat, fuel, and oxygen. If you remove one of those elements out of the fire triangle, you will no longer have a fire. So let's say, for sake of argument, the fuel for your fire is the purpose and love that God has placed in you. The oxygen for your fire is your passion. And the heat comes from your burning desire to do the will of God. How do you keep the fire of God in your heart? See, if the fuel is love, we never want we don't want the fire to go out in our heart. Jesus warns us of a cold love. For in that day, because iniquity, because the lawlessness shall abound, that the love of many will grow cold. And we've seen cold love these past 4 or 5 years, and even then some. People can say that they're born again, but they line up with some other agenda that does not have anything to do with the body of Christ. Love is the guiding principle in all of our Christian relationships. Somebody said amen. Everything that we're doing for God, what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Paul catches a hold of this, and he says for us to be fervent in spirit. Fervent. White hot. We got to be on fire. We can't let just anything come in and rob us of that fire. oh, when we lose that fire, when one of the elements of that fire triangle goes out, we don't have a fire anymore. When our passion in that fire triangle goes out, there's an element in that fire that we can't keep the heat. Cold love. When you don't have that purpose, that the reason that you are handing out tracts anyway on the street was because you wanted to see somebody get born again. You didn't have to have your name written in lights. You didn't have to go and put your book on how you got somebody saved and put it on the New York Times bestseller list. No, when the fire is burning that God has placed on the inside of you, it don't matter who sees you. It doesn't matter who knows you. It doesn't matter. Only thing that matters, hallelujah, is what God has done through you. Love can't become cold. Our love, Christian love, born-again love, sanctified love, holy love, that love is sustained by Christ. So we cannot, literally cannot have cold love. He says in another translation, let love be without hypocrisy. And so when we look at what hypocrisy is, it's playing a role. It's acting. You're just playing a role. You see somebody that's having a rough time, they're crying in church, that doesn't mean that they're a hypocrite. It doesn't mean they're backslidden. That means maybe there's something wrong with their walk and they need you to pray for them and not talk about it. Hypocrisy is a hard task. It lives only for the praise of men. Mischievousness. Concerns itself with small things, deals chiefly with externals, reveres only that which is dead, finds a fearful judgment. In order for us to keep our hearts on fire, we have to be real. We have to be real. The word hypocrite comes from
Amen.
The word hypocrites, which means an actor. The word came from hypocrites, which means two words, hupo, crino, to judge under. When we are hypocrites and we're looking through our little vision, we're seeing through a screen, so we don't have clear vision. That's one thing that hypocrisy does to us. It makes us have a slanted view on things. I'm getting ready to go to my sheet now. The Apostle Paul gives the suggestion of serving the Lord in order to keep the fire. That's what I was trying to get to. How do you keep the fire in your life? You got to serve the Lord. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as with eagles, and they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. When we go to a restaurant, we go to Ruth's Chris. We can go to Sam's, not Sam's. Lord, we don't want to go to Sam's. We can go to DeMille's here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Good steakhouse. The person that comes up to take your order, what do we call that person? We call them waiter or waitress. And what is their job? Their job is to serve you. Their job is to serve you. So when we're waiting on the Lord, what are we doing? We're serving him. We serve
Amen.
God in our family. We serve God through our tithes and offerings. We serve God through volunteering in our community. We serve God through a home visit. You know, don't lose your passion. I'm getting ready to sit down now. But look, don't lose your passion like Jeremiah lost his passion.
Mm-hmm.
He won't preach no more. Could it have been because they weren't listening to it? Could it have been because there was wrong teaching? Could it have been because Jeremiah's his journey was so difficult because he's preaching to a people that would not change? Why would he give up? I don't know why he gave up, but he gave up. But there's something about when the purpose of God is in your life, when the purpose of God is permeating on the end, even when you sit down.
All right.
Something on the inside of you starts burning, and it's just like fire shut up in my bones. As I get ready to go down, Dr. Elliott, you need to come on up, Bishop-elect. God loves us with an atoning love. God loves us with a calling love. God loves us with an adapting love and an adopting love. God loves us with a sanctifying love. God loves us with a glorifying love.
Amen.
Love is the way.
And hallelujah.
To start the fire in your heart. God so loved the world, I'm done now, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Dr. Elliott, please come on.
Hallelujah. Can we just give God some praise?
Oh, amen.
Lord,
amen.
God,
hallelujah.
Worthy, thank worthy, you, Lord. Worthy, worthy.
Yes, Lord.
To be praised.
Thank
giving
you.
Honor to God, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit,
yes.
To all on the line, honor where honor is due. When I preach at
yes.
my church, I ask people to lift up one finger and say this thing, it's good to be in the house of the Lord one more time. And somebody can say,
time.
It's good, it's good, it's good. Yeah, it's good
it's
to
good.
Be in the house of the Lord one more time. The word of God comes to make us wise into salvation from the book of Psalms, chapter 51, verse 10. Can't wait on you to find it. Psalm 51:10. Very familiar
mm-hmm.
passage of scripture. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and
yes.
renew a right spirit within me. Yeah, so for a thing, for just a little while, it's a question that I came to ask you on tonight. I'm hoping that my question will be answered.
Mm-hmm.
That question
mm-hmm.
Is there room for Jesus in your heart? Oh,
well,
hallelujah, hallelujah. We want him to do a work and to set our hearts on fire, but I need to go back a few steps and ask you, is there room for Jesus
well,
in your heart? We're talking about the heart tonight and how appropriate on Valentine's Day when we celebrate
well,
romantic love and we're giving each other cards and chocolates and presents and so forth. And as a newlywed that's only been married 12 days, come on here,
well,
somebody. Valentine's Day has a special meaning for me this year. As a matter of fact, I can't stay on here too long because I've got to go see about my husband. Come on. But
well,
while
come
I'm
on,
I want to say that we can't be so concerned about the natural heart that we don't
come
take
on,
stock of our spiritual heart. Come on
yes.
here, somebody. I hear people always referencing the scripture, talking about it's such a shame that there was no room for Jesus in the inn when he was born. They say it's a shame that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords
mm-hmm.
has to be born in a lowly manger. But see, I think
well,
the more pertinent question is not where he was born, but where he lived right now. Oh, come on here, somebody.
Come on.
Don't worry about where he was born, because that was ordained from the beginning of time. But what we need to know is where is he living now? Yeah, God. You see,
yeah.
the issue is some people just want Jesus to be a guest in their heart. Mm-hmm, yeah, they want him to stop by for a visit, but not to stay.
Well,
and while he's there, they don't want him to change anything or rearrange anything, but they want to stay where they want him to be. They want a quick fix to feel better, to get a relief from pain. You know, now everything is quick. You know, you put something in a microwave, you go through a drive-thru, but baby, there's no drive-thru breakthroughs. It's a process. Somebody needs
well,
to stay. Process. But see, they want to treat their heart like a hotel and have Jesus check in, do a quick look and then check out. But I can't
well,
let you know, baby, it don't work like that. Jesus does not come in and just do what you want him to do and then leave so your heart can go back to its regularly scheduled program of regret, disappointment, bitterness, anger, vengefulness. I don't think so. He desires to take a permanent residence in your heart, to live
yeah.
there and do a work in you. So I asked the question, haven't gotten an answer yet. Is there room
well,
for Jesus in your heart?
Mm-hmm.
And if you say yes, you have to understand he's going to rearrange some furniture in your heart. Oh, yeah. See, I know when you have a natural guest in your natural house, you don't want them to touch nothing. They just need to sit there, and you get them a glass of iced tea, but they better not move nothing. But let me tell you something. When Jesus comes into your heart, he's going to serve an eviction notice on some things that have been taking up room in your heart and not paying any rent. Let me tell you something. He's going to serve an eviction notice on bitterness. He's going to say, bitterness, you've got to go. You've been causing my children to stay stuck in the past. Oh, and I know the thoughts I have toward toward them, to give them a future and a hope and
yes.
an expected end. So bitterness, you're going to have to go. Now, let me say this. If you were to say that I want Jesus to serve an eviction notice on bitterness, just be warned there's some side effects to Jesus moving bitterness out. You won't be able to keep telling the same old story about who hurt you and who left you and who talked about you and who put a knife in your back. Oh, come on here. And when your uncle got drunk on Christmas and burned the house down. Oh, come on, somebody. And how Sal and Joe been talking about you since you were 9 years old. You've got to understand, when Jesus moves bitterness out, you can't tell the same story.
Come on, I got some good news for you.
Hey, I got some good news for you. God's going to give you a new story. Oh, glory be to God. He's going to give you a new story. You're going to have a new word in your mouth. You're going to be able to tell people, God did a work in my heart. I can't even remember all that nonsense I used to talk about because God has given me a new story. And if anybody wants a new story, somebody just shout, fix my heart, God. Fix my heart. Fix my heart. Hey, God.
Thank you, God.
Hey, but you've got to want Jesus to do this work. David cried out, create in me a clean heart. Renew within me a right spirit. He understood that in order for him to do what God had called him to do, he couldn't go on with his heart in that condition. And can I tell you something? Too many Christians' hearts are in critical condition. Woo! Oh, come on, here, somebody. Too many hearts of Christians are in critical condition. Spiritual arteries are blocked. Love and joy can't flow. But I came to let you know that Jesus is the ultimate cardiologist. He can unblock some things in your heart. If you, God, come on here. Hey, if you're wondering why you don't have joy like you used to, if you don't feel love like you used to, can't worship like you used to, it's because your spiritual arteries are blocked. But I came to let you know, if you make an appointment with Dr. Jesus, he's a specialist. And I hear my mama say he specializes in everything that seems impossible. Oh, come on. If it seems impossible to you, it's possible with God. And I just need somebody to say, Lord, fix my heart.
Lord, fix my heart.
I don't have time to tell you about everything he's going to serve eviction notice on, but I'll tell you about the last thing. How many of you know he will turn his attention to the first cousins of regret and disappointment? Woo, thank God. I know nobody on here wants to admit that they have regret and disappointment, but the devil is a liar. Oh, yeah. And he is going to serve. Jesus will serve a double eviction notice. Oh, yeah. You know how when the sheriff comes, and you got to get out the house, you start grabbing stuff, trying to get yourself out the house because it's time to go. How many of you know regret and disappointment won't have time to grab nothing when Jesus says it's time to go? Oh, glory be to God.
Amen.
Because too many hearts are weighed down. Heavy hearts can't worship like you used to. And you're saying, if only I had done this. If only I hadn't missed out on this opportunity. If only I hadn't made this mistake. I'm so disappointed with the way things have turned out in my life. Oh, the devil wants to make you believe that your past will keep you from the promises of God. But I came to let you know, if you will just let Jesus move into your heart tonight.
Come on.
On everything that's blocking you from your blessing. I came to let you know, stop living in the past. And start living in the now that God has for you.
I'm about to go.
I need somebody to shout now. I need somebody to shout now. God has hope for me now. God has purpose for me now. God has joy for me now. It does not matter what happened before. Woo!
Glory to God.
Yes.
Understand this before I go. There are people that have dual citizenship. They live in two countries, They can go one to the other because they have dual citizenship. That may work in the natural, But can I tell you something? It doesn't work in the spiritual. Some of us have dual citizenship in the past and in the present. You want to live in both places. You want to keep looking back to who hurt you. You want to keep rehearsing who did you wrong. You want to keep jumping from one to the other. But see, Jesus is going to revoke your citizenship in the past because he wants you to live in the now, because your blessings are in the now. Your hope is in the now. Your joy is in the now. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. And I came to let you know that tonight, I'm getting ready to close, he can take away our stony hearts and give us a heart of flesh. I don't know about you, but I need Jesus to live in my heart and do a work in my heart and set a fire in my heart that won't ever go out. In the name of Jesus on tonight, if you have not received him as a permanent guest in your heart, receive him tonight. And no love, no joy and peace like you've never known it before. Oh, hallelujah. Because he is the best house guest and the best heart guest you will ever have. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, hey, wants to live in your heart. Somebody say, now. Come on, somebody receive your now. Come on, somebody receive your now. Somebody receive your now. Somebody receive your now. Come on, let's give God some praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for the now. Thank you for the now. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God.
Pastor Jessica. Pastor Jessica.
Amen. God bless you and God keep you. Thank you so much, Dr. Susan, for this invitation and for this opportunity.
Amen.
I want to thank those that spoke before me. God bless you. Y'all bless my heart this evening. This is absolutely wonderful. I'm delighted to be in this space this evening. I'm delighted to be able to bring a short word to you all this evening about love. And so I'm going to read just a passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 4 through 8a. And I know that you all will know it as soon as I begin to read it. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Let me say that again. It does not insist on its own way. One more time for the Holy Ghost. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
If it's love. Yeah.
Ends. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is what? Love.
Love.
But just a moment, sisters and brothers, I want to speak from the title. What's love got to do with?
Hey.
What's love got to do with? You know, in the New Testament, there are primarily three Greek words that express the concept of love. And that's where I believe we get hung up, because we don't know what kind of love we're talking about when we say, I love you. You see, we have agape love, we have philia love, and we have eros. Eros is what's going on right now on Valentine's and so many people's spaces. Eros signifies a sexual kind of love in Greek. It is used, it's not used in the New Testament, but philia is friendship, brotherly love. That's that kind of love where we get the word Philadelphia from, philia. And then there is agape. Agape is this unmerited, unwarranted, don't make no sense kind of love that God has for us, God's prodigal sons and daughters, and that we can from time to time have for one another. See, the answer to what's love got to do with it is actually everything. See, love is the foundation of every mutual relationship that we have. See, I don't care what you buy. I don't care what you do. If there's no love in it, then you've wasted both time and money. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians that, it's 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of mortals and angels, but I do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I don't care what you do or what you say. If love's not in the picture, then you're just making noise. And your noise ain't joyful. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to move mountains but do not have love, then I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is the foundation of who we are as the church, of who we are as Christians. I don't care how long we have been in the church. If we do not have love, then we're wrong. I don't care how long we have been in the positions in the church. I don't care what positions we've held in the church, from the pulpit to the back door. If love's not in the equation, then in hell we will lift up our eyes. I don't care what kind of degree you have. I don't care what kind of title you have. I don't care how many folks you may have baptized. If love is not in your equation, then you're just making noise. Of course, the greatest example of love was summed up by the Apostle Paul in Romans 8 when he said, but God demonstrated his love, his agape for us. It's that while we were sinners, Jesus died for us. That's agape love. That's that don't make no sense kind of love. And I'm getting to get to some of that. That mother's love. That's the love that mamas have a lot of times. And no matter what children do, no matter how far they get out there, no matter how many times they have warned them against this, no matter how many times they have tried to change their entire lives and their thinking and their patterns and everything, mama still somehow, even after she has given up on the entire process, find some way to express that love. I want you to understand tonight that that's what God does for us. After all we have done, we hadn't always acted right. We hadn't always thought right. We hadn't always talked right. But God has never left us hanging in spite of what we did, in spite of how we acted, in spite of what we thought. God has never left us hanging. That is agape. That is the kind of love that Jesus asked Peter on that beach after the resurrection. Peter, do you agape me? See, the English is going to betray what Jesus was actually saying. Yeah. Peter said, yeah, Jesus, you know I love you. That's not what I asked you, Peter. I didn't ask you if you fillet me. I asked you, do you agape me?
Come on. Come on.
Will you lay your life down for me? Will you sacrifice for me? Will you go all the way for me? Will you stand tall and declare my word? Would you stand in the face of opposition and to put your life on the line? Do you love me that much to do for me what I just did for you?
Yes.
That's agape. And as we move forward in this world, as we move forward on our journey as the church, as Christians, as sisters and brothers on this journey, we have got to find agape. We got to find our way to agape, which means that we're going to have to love more recklessly than we do. Let me tell you what that is. I'm getting ready to close right now. You see, we don't love very reckless at all. So what I mean, we are kind to people who are kind to us. We love folk who love us. We're not getting out of our comfort zones. We're not stretching theologically. We're not moving to the edges, to the boundaries, where we extend love to folk that don't care nothing for us, that folk may not call, folks who may not call God the same name that we call God, folk that may not even believe in a God. We didn't have one God to create the church and one God to create something else. One God, our God, we believe created everybody. No matter what they think, no matter where they are, no matter what language, what ethnicity, what skin color, it just does not matter. And God, I believe, is asking us in this hour, I need you to agape me. I need you to stretch your idea of love, which means you're going to have to love some folks that you might not have broken bread with.
Come on, preacher.
You got to love some folks that perhaps you have try to prevent from being around the table. This is one of the things that disciples have, the table. We have communion every single Sunday gather in the Lord's house. The table is central to what we are doing. And I don't know about y'all, but when I was growing up at Thanksgiving and Christmas, we had those kind of tables that you could pull the ends out and add another piece in there. See, when you have extra folks come to the table, you have to expand the table. Now, we're not making another table. We are expanding God's table. We're telling people that you are welcome in God's house. I'm not standing here. When Jesus invited those, when Jesus invited his disciples to participate in communion, and the root word of communion is union, becoming one. When God invited that, God checked their IDs at the door. God didn't say everybody can do this except Judas, because, you know, Judas even broke bread with Jesus, and Jesus knew exactly what Judas was going to do. Thomas broke bread with Jesus, and Jesus knew exactly what Thomas was going to do. Peter broke bread with Jesus, and Jesus knew and called out times that Peter would lie and say that he never knew this.
Come on, preacher.
Yeah, we put the walls up, but we won't break bread with folks we don't like. But we won't break bread with folks. That's a different denomination. Yeah. That's a different ethnicity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a different whatever. We put up walls that God has broken down.
Yes, we do.
And God is asking us tonight, what's love got to do with it? And he's saying everything. You can't count yourself as my disciple if you cannot find it in your heart what God said. Amen.
One of the things we want to always remember is that God keeps on loving. The scripture in Luke 15:11-32 says, a man had two sons. The younger son told the father, I want my share of the estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his fields to pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding, the pigs, looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. And when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. And here I am, dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. And so he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But the father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. So the party began. You see, God keeps on loving. And they say on December the 7th in 1988, an earthquake devastated the northwestern section of Armenia, killing an estimated 25,000 people. In one small town, just after the earthquake, the father rushed to his son's school, only to find that the school had been flattened. There was no sign of life, but he had no thought of turning back. He'd often told his son, no matter what, I'll always love you and be there for you when you need me. And though his prospect appeared hopeless, the father began fervently removing rubble from where he believed his son's classroom had been. Though others had given up, courageously he worked alone. 8 hours, 24 hours, 36 hours. No one volunteered to help him. Then in the 38th hour, as he was heaving away a heavy piece of rubble, a child he could hear, he heard voices, and he said, Armand. He screamed, and a child's voice responded, Dad, it's me, Armand. And I told the other kids not to worry. I told them, look, Dad, if you were alive, you'd save me. And when you saved me, they'd be saved. You promised you'd always love me, Dad, and you'd be there for me. You did it, Dad. Now, this is a true story, and I felt it was perfect to talk about it, about love, which is designed to celebrate all of us and remind us of the power of our God's love. So you may not have that kind of father, that kind of God in your life that you know about and you are holding on to. But if as a father, your father didn't keep these promises, don't blame God for that. But let's look at the father in today's biblical story, because we all have heavenly parents who love us and keep their promises. See, Dr. Luke tells us the story of a father's love, and he says in the Bible that our heavenly parents' love is steadfast, unmovable, unshakable, relentless, never ending. So when God, our Father, makes a promise, God always keeps it. See, today's biblical story reminds us about some clues of what God's love is like. Now, let me give you some background information. Jesus has a crowd gathered, and he tells them a parable that jokes them emotionally from the start. The youngest boy thoughtlessly treats his father as if he's dead by asking for his inheritance. Come on, somebody, while his father is still alive. And, of course, everybody's around going, ooh, and ah, and they're shocked at the ungratefulness of the son, right? But the father demonstrates an out-of-the-box love by agreeing to his son's outrageous request. You see, the love of the father is strong enough to let the son have what he thinks he wants, even if it hurts the father to do it. You see, this rebellious boy takes a third of the inheritance. His oldest son would receive two-thirds and proceeds to liquidate his inheritance. Now, this is the final straw of disrespect. In the minds of the listener, he is cut off. To their appall, the master storyteller goes on to say that the son leaves home, goes far away, and runs out of food, runs out of funds, runs out of friends. He hits rock bottom. And Jesus says that the boy hired himself out to work during a famine feeding pigs. Now, y'all know that things are pretty bad for this young man because the ultimate humiliation in a kosher culture is to work with some pigs. But when he hit bottom, come on, somebody, he received a wake-up call. Then that's what it takes for some of us, that we got to hit rock bottom before we get the wake-up call. And the moment he made up his mind to break the relationship with his father, he lost his mind and was no longer conscious of whom he was and whose he was. You see, he conjured up confession and he made his way back home. And though the son returned broken, sorrowful, and was prepared to beg for mercy, what he found was an unbounded love, not a grudging acceptance or a plea bargain, not even tough love with a lot of strings attached. But Luke 15:20 says, his father anticipating his return, he jumps up. Now, this is the first clue in understanding God's love. God's love is anticipatory. Let me hear somebody say anticipatory. Mm-hmm. You see, the father anticipated seeing the son on his way home. He jumps up. Come on, somebody. And he gets this, y'all. He runs toward the younger son, embracing him. Now, when I saw this scripture, it reminded me of myself as a parent. And whenever I'm going to give my children gifts, come on, y'all, I can hardly hold it. Mm-hmm. I can't hold no water. I want to give it to them immediately. So early, you see, on their special day, whether it's their birthday or whether it's Christmas, I go running, tiptoeing in the room with my gifts, and I'm more excited about getting it to them than they are getting it. And they're so slow, Lord have mercy, taking off the tape, slowly unwrapping the paper, till I shout with them, just tear off the paper already, just tear the paper off. So the father runs, you see, to his son. He's running with glee, with anticipation. Now, this may not seem like a big deal to you, but a man who ran like this in Jesus' day would have brought shame on himself. You see, it was below his station to run. And by running would expose his legs in a way which would have been considered indecent. You see, the father risked bringing shame on himself in order to receive and reestablish his relationship with his son. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. This is the depth of his love. This is him willing to shame himself by exposing even his legs, even before the son has offered his confession. Whatever it takes, you see. Now, this to me is foretelling what we already know of in history. Some 2,000 years ago on a hill, come on somebody, far away, stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. So we know that God's love is anticipatory. And the second thing we know about God's love is enduring. Verse 21 through 22 says, filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son. He embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. In these few familiar lines in Luke, Jesus explains the nature of God and our relationship with him. You see, the son knew the things that he had done would deserve being cut off. But his Father, like our God, is the wellspring of love. And we are his beloved. He loves each one of us in our falls and resurrections. You see, he never erased our future because of our past. Oh, God loves us when we're good, and God loves us when we're bad. Hallelujah. Yes, he does.
Hallelujah.
God rejoices when we turn to him, whether in exaltation or in desperation. How many times have we acted out this story in our own lives? How many times in so many petty ways we've turned from God only to come slinking back? Come on, broken and discouraged. In the tale of the prodigal, Jesus guarantees us what we can expect from the Father. Unconditional love, boundless joy, and divine mercy. You see, God's love is characterized by enduring commitment. God's love is the love of a father who follows through with what he has promised. You see, he's committed to his children. He follows through on his commitments. And Exodus describes God as a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger and abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. So when we say the word love, it can mean a whole lot of things, y'all. But when our Heavenly Father says love, it means something very specific. The word in the Hebrew language is hesed. Perhaps the best way to describe it is to quote another verse. Chronicles 20:21 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And so you see, regardless of the circumstances, the love of God is steadfast. It never gives up. God's love is anticipatory. God's love is enduring. And God's love restores. And that's what we're talking about in revival. We want restoration. This is the other salient point before the Father knows what the Son is about to do. He welcomes him home and restores him with exuberance. You see, the Son offers his apology, but in the face of the bombardment of the Father's love and compassion, the Son's heart is turned. The offerings of the Son is almost felt in the Father's eagerness to order a new robe for the Son, for he would again be honored in his house. To offer him a ring, restoring the authority to conduct business, to put shoes of freedom on his feet, for sons, not slaves, wore shoes, and of great importance to order the barbecue celebration. Come on, y'all. For his son, you see, was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but has been resurrected, is alive, and now new. Obviously, there are no conditions to unconditional love. But that does not mean that God's love is one-sided. Don't get it twisted. He doesn't want us to be confused by what God expects. See, God expects us to trust. God expects us to receive God's love and to love God back. You see, the Son's work, repentance, right, was simply accepting being found. I'm going to say it one more time. All the Son had to do was accept being found. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, because God is love. God won't stop God's self from loving the people that God made. We are all God's children, and God wants to restore our broken family. God wants to ignite our hearts on fire. You see, everything that has happened in this story is challenging the bedrock of the Pharisees and scribes' understanding of God's relationship with the world. But God doesn't want to exclude the unclean and the unholy, but wants to embrace, as Brother Jesse said, expanding the table so that everybody feels welcome. God wants to embrace the poor, embrace the homeless, embrace the unloved, and yes, those of us who do things who we know God despises. You see, God keeps on loving us, even when we make God ashamed. So we should thank God for not giving us what we deserve after failing over and over again. We should thank God that every blessing and request that God has granted could have been withheld. But praise God, mercy intervened. You see, God keeps on loving through the good and the bad. God keeps on loving. When we disobey or run away, it's God that keeps on loving. What God is to you and to me. Oh, no man can ever be those of who love the Lord. God keeps on loving. Who can love me like you do, Lord? Hallelujah. God keeps on loving. God sees through every mistake, every stumble, and provides your children and lets us know that he'll always be there. Through every slip, through every mistake, God keeps on loving us. We keep saying no, but you say yes. We keep doing wrong, but you still blessed. God keeps on loving us.
Come on.
Even when it feels like you're not there, you show up, God. We cross the line, but you won't let us die. You give us another chance. Savior, what I love about you is that your love runs deep. You gave your life for a wretch like me. Who else would have done that but God? And that's because God keeps on loving. What would our world be like if we could truly understand that our Heavenly Father loves us, and like the Father who dug his son out of the rubble, God keeps on loving. The word of God for the people of God.
What a word.
Be to God.
Amen, amen, amen.
And we have listened to the word of God tonight. We have gleaned that word, and Bishop gave us an hour, and we made it within that hour. And we praise God for all that we've learned and gleaned through being a part of Spirit Alive Network. We thank Bishop for bringing some of the crew on tonight to support us as we endeavor to share the word of God and to have this time of revival so that our hearts are ignited and we're on fire for the Lord. This is not about us tonight. This is about what we are trying to do for the kingdom of God. We are trying to ignite hearts and ignite them and put them on fire so that they come back and ask, what must I do to reignite, to reestablish my relationship with God? Because that's what it's about. It's about your relationship. Today, tomorrow, the next day, it's about your relationship with God. And if you let it, it'll get sweeter every day, every day. And so we come tonight, and we just want to say thank you. We want to bless the Lord for Bishop Michael Snoddy. Can we all give him a hand clap?
God bless you.
We want to bless the Lord for Bishop-elect Demel Elliott Hubbard, newlywed. We want to thank you for coming and sharing on this special night when it's love night. Go on, girl. You can get on phone now. We want to bless Pastor Jesse Jackson, who's spending the night with his wonderful wife of many years and has blessed us as my brother in Christ for many, many years. Thank you for the word of God that was so on fire. And I know you got to go back and love on your wife as well. So we praise you for coming to join us tonight. And most of all, we just thank all of you for allowing us to be brothers and sisters of the cloth to lift the Lord's word so that people far and wide can hear the word of God. So we thank you tonight. If there's anybody on the line who is hearing this revival, if you hear a word and you're reminded that God is loving or trying to love you, we ask that right now where you are, you would confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and extends to you the gift of eternal life. And all you got to do is receive it. If you choose to receive it, we praise God for you. We celebrate because you are now a part of the kingdom of God. And for those brothers and sisters who are already in the kingdom and you feel like you've been trodden down and you don't have no energy left and you heard a word that would spark and reunite and ignite you, praise God. We expect you to get back in the kingdom and get busy again. We thank God for you. And we thank God for Bishop Sherlene Cook, who allowed us to come, love connection to come and spend a little bit of time with them on Spirit Alive Network. And we've been so grateful for these couple of times when we joined her, and we thank her for those opportunities. And thank you, Bishop. We appreciate those experiences. In Jesus' name, we thank you for allowing us to come and visit. Amen.
You got it, little sister. Anytime. You know I love me some you. Hallelujah, saints of God. Now, if you're not fired up right about now, you're dead, because all of these mighty servant leaders brought you a word, and we just want to thank you all for coming out and listening tonight. Hallelujah. We pray that you will join Dr. Susie again and this wonderful, wonderful panel of people. I just praise God for each and every one of you. I pray that God will bless your ministries collectively and individually. I pray that he will, hallelujah, continue to use you as miraculously as he did on tonight. So, saints of God, we have indeed heard a rhema word. We want to thank you so much for coming out and listening. We pray that you continue to walk with us here at the Spirit Alive Network on tomorrow night. Please join Pastor Lester Carver for Tuesday night teaching. On Wednesday, join Apostle Zeta Flowers for her Wednesday night Bible studies. And then this Thursday, Gap Ministry will be coming with their, hallelujah, Thursday night Bible study. Yes, we have more of what your soul is looking for right here on the Spirit Alive Network. So we pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here on the Spirit Alive Network. God bless you all. You did a phenomenal job. Amen. Thank you for your program.
Be blessed now.
Be blessed.